Tonight's scripture focus before our time of prayer, we are going to be looking at James chapter 4. So if you please turn in your Bibles there. We're in the middle of our study, if you recall, of this book of living faith. And tonight we're going to be looking at verses 13 through 17, which even though it's all about planning and calendars and schedules and the brevity of life, issues like that, it actually has a surprising connection to what we've been studying the last couple of weeks, which is repentant humility. If you recall, James has been presenting throughout this book various tests of saving faith, and in verses 6 through 10, he makes it clear that humility is the foundational hallmark of genuine faith. To be saved, if it means anything at all, means that you are someone who has and continues to submit your life and your will to God. Not always perfectly, but always characteristically. As James puts it, you have entered into a pathway of humbling yourself before the Lord. And James will teach us tonight that one of the ways where that submission to God ought to be reflected most clearly is in the area of our calendars, our schedules, our planning, our ambitions for the future. Not just what we do, but how we do it. And honestly, it is in this area that most people reveal whether their faith is indeed living and genuine or not. Just think about it. There are a lot of people, particularly in America, who say that they believe in God. Lots of people who say that Jesus is their Lord. But if we're to be perfectly honest, their calendars would never reflect it. Sad to say, too often, our calendars sometimes don't either. I don't have time for God. I don't have time for prayer, for His word, for His people. I don't have time for worship, for service, for Christian fellowship. I don't have time for making plans for the kingdom of God because I got all these other plans I'm trying to do. I don't have time to make plans for making myself ready for what God wants me to do with my life because I've got to get myself ready for what I want to do and the kingdom that I'm trying to build and the influence that I'm trying to have. That's not necessarily antagonistic towards the things of God, but it is apathetic. I'm going to do this and this and this and this, and with all that on my plate, I just don't have any time for God left over. And what we don't realize is that the opposite of submitting to God, as James will teach us today, that what I've just described is the opposite of submitting to God. It is the opposite of humility. And so in the passage that we're going to look at tonight, James is going to teach us how to plan in light of God's providence, how to plan properly in light of God's sovereign authority over our lives. There are two main basic sections to this passage before us. In verses 13 through 15, we're going to see the correction to boasting as James compares the difference between prideful planning and providential planning. And then in verses 16 through 17, we see the cause of boasting as James tells us what's at the root of this prideful, sure confidence about the future. And so we have the correction of boasting followed by the cause of boasting. And we'll just consider the first half of that first point of the correction to boasting, which is getting a good read on what prideful planning looks like. And so with that in mind, if you would please look on with me as I get to read the passage before us tonight from James 4, 13 through 17. Pastor James, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, writes these words for us tonight. He says, "Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. So whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is sin." This is the word of God, and we should be thankful for it. So let's do that tonight. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you, Father, for how it is a light that helps us to examine our lives. And Father, we thank you for showing us, even just through the reading of your word tonight, of an area of our life that needs to be closely looked at. It's how we plan our weekly schedule, how we plan our daily schedule. And Father, whether we're putting you at the center of it or putting other things at the center of it. Father, I pray that as we who have declared that we have submitted ourselves to you, we pray that we would show that in the most basic area of our lives by how we live it. And just, Father, I just pray that you would show us that the sin of rebellion against you can often look not only like the sins of commission, but also the sins of omission as we refuse to submit our daily schedules to you. So, Father, help us to walk in living faith and examine this most important area of our lives. Father, I think of the totality of what your word says. Help us to live peaceful and quiet lives, godly and dignified in every way. Help us to live simple lives working with our own hands. Help us to live lives that are laser-focused on the most important things and aren't distracted by the lesser things of life. Keep us, Father, from dallying and Vanity Fair. Help us to continue the path towards glory. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so James, guided by the Holy Spirit, begins this pointed application of submitting to God by giving first the correction to boasting that is often extremely acceptable in most cultures, especially in corporate-driven America. In verses 13 through 15. Here James addresses the wrong type of planning. I'll call it prideful planning. And then he's going to correct it with the right type of planning, which is providential planning. And so James first addresses for us prideful planning in verses 13 through 14. James begins by saying, come now. In other words, listen up, right? Pay attention. Think about this. Be reasonable. Come now. You who say, today or tomorrow we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit, yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Now, who is James speaking to here? What type of person or mindset is he addressing? Well, he's addressing what I might call self-confident, deliberate planners. Those who make confident assertions to others about what they will do, where they will go, when they will go there, how long they will stay, and even what will be the results. The people who have their 5 to 10 year plans laid out to a T, and are confidently boasting that they know exactly what is going to happen. They've got it all planned out. Everything's fine. What could go wrong, right? He is talking to the person who has completely ignored the first opening words of James. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you enter into what? Trials of various kinds. He is addressing those type of people who are ignoring the reality of life. And that is exactly what James is describing here in verse 13. He's talking to people who are boasting that I know what I am going to do tomorrow. I'm going to go into such and such a town and trade. I know when I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it today or tomorrow. I know how long it's going to last. I'm going to spend a year there. And I know what are going to be the results of me being there. I am going to make a profit. They're sure of it. They have got it figured out. They've got a fail-proof plan. They are not only confident about what they will do tomorrow, they are confident about what the results will be. These are the people that James is addressing. Every YouTube ad you've ever seen in your life. Right? If you've watched many YouTube ads, right? I know exactly what you need to do, this five-step plan, and you will achieve, you know, whatever it is, financial independence, the most awesome-looking body, right, within 1 month, 30 days. That's all it takes, right? This is the type of person that James is addressing, those people who communicate to others and perhaps even based on the previous context of verses 11 through 12, who look down on others based upon their schedule by communicating to others indirectly by how rigid of a life they live and structured, I've got my life together. I have got it figured all out. I am in control. You should listen to me. Follow me. Step right up. I've got a great plan. I've got three easy steps to success. Just go to such and such a town, spend a year there, trade, boom. Fail-proof plan, instant success. Trust me, I've got it all figured out. And James says, come now. Don't be ridiculous. You who say today or tomorrow we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit. And I need to be clear, while we often do see this mindset with businessmen, James is really addressing anyone who lives their life like through their planning they can be in ultimate control. He addresses in this passage those of us who think that we can control any area of our life if only we just spend enough time planning and thinking about it. If I can just figure this out and plan for all of these contingencies, then I will be able to see everything the future has in store and be ready for all of it. And we all know people like this, right? Often they are people that hardly do anything sometimes to the nth degree, right? Where they have to think through absolutely everything and they can't take one step until they know if that one step will lead to guaranteed success. And James is addressing the folly of it. He says, come now, don't be ridiculous. You don't even know, verse 14, what tomorrow brings. And here James tells us that why this prideful boasting about tomorrow is foolish, and it's foolish for two reasons. First, because you're ignorant. And second, because you're fragile. You're ignorant and you're fragile. So first, prideful planning about the future, fragile and powerless. So first, prideful planning about the future is foolish because you're ignorant. That's in verse 14 where he says, yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. So let's be honest, no matter how much planning you do today, the entirety of tomorrow remains a complete mystery to you, doesn't it? Tell me one thing that you know 100% is going to happen tomorrow. And I'll tell you, as James says, you're completely arrogant about that. If you notice the one thing that he gives a corrective, even though I'm not getting to this and I'm stealing some of the thunder for next week, you'll notice in verse 15 that the humble person says, if the Lord wills, we will what? We will, he says, live and do this and that. Like, you don't even know if you'll be alive tomorrow. You don't even know if you'll be alive at the end of this sermon. And that's not just because it's going to go on for 4 hours. No, I'm just kidding. It's that you don't know what tomorrow is going to bring at all. Tomorrow is a complete mystery to you. And not only tomorrow, but the rest of today, the rest of this hour, the rest of this minute. It's completely unknown to you what the next second will bring until it brings it. You don't know the future or anything about it. Only God does. You cannot orchestrate the future by your planning. Boastful planning about the future is foolish because you are ignorant. You are not God. Second, James says, you are fragile and you are powerless. You're fragile and powerless. Look at the end of verse 14. To those who think that they can control the future by their obsessive thinking and planning about it, James asks, what is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. I have a question for you. I think this is James' point, to get at James' point. Have you ever seen a mist actually do anything? No. Can a vapor open a door? Maybe if you've watched a horror film, but no. Can a mist even move a feather? No. Mist can't do anything. It just hangs in the air until eventually it is blown away by some force that is more powerful than it. Mist is temporary. It is transient. And here's the initial point that I think James is making. It is powerless. The only thing you have ever seen mist ever do is get blown around. The only thing that you've ever seen smoke do is get blown around. And James says, that's your life. Even with all of your thinking and all of your planning and all of your preparation, you are as powerless to control the future as a bit of fog is to move a tree. And I want you to imagine that, picture that. If you and I are standing at Mad River Valley in the top of our hill at home, if you've ever been out there, it's early morning, the valley is filled with fog, with the tops of trees popping up here and there throughout it all. And what would you think if I was to told you, listen, the morning wind is going to come and it's going to blow down this valley, and then get this, the fog is going to move this tree right here. This mist is going to push this tree a foot back. Do you think that's going to happen? No, right? You think the mist is going to move the tree even a millimeter, not on your life. The morning wind comes, and what happens? The mist is blown away, and that tree remains immovable. And that's your life. With all of its plans, all of its preparations placed next to the future plans and purposes of God that He had fixed from before the foundation of the world, your plans for the future will just blow away. God's plans for the future, those are the things that will remain. As Proverbs 19, verse 21 says, many are the plans in the mind of man, but it is the purpose of who? The Lord that will stand. As Jesus said in Luke 12, verse 25, by all your worrying and all your planning, you cannot add a single hour to your life. And Proverbs 16:9 says, though the hearts of man plans his way, it is the Lord that establishes his steps. And so James says, what is your life? Or as he asked last week, who are you? Humble yourself before the Lord. I know this sounds harsh, but from Creator God, He is reminding us, you are ignorant and you are powerless. Nothing but a mist compared to the eternal wills and purposes and providence of God. You honestly think that you can be in complete control of the outcome of future events? That's God's job. You don't need to worry about that. What you need to do is trust the Lord for it. As Psalms 33, verse 11 says, it is the counsel of the Lord that stands forever, the plans of His heart to all generations. And is not this what the rich fool learns in Jesus' parable in Luke 12? He spends his whole life getting rich and making plans on how he's going to get richer until finally he says, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry. But God said to him, fool, this night your soul is required of you. Truly did Robert Frost once write, the best laid plans of mice and men so often go awry. Why is that? It's because they so often run completely contrary to the plan of God from eternity past. And so, what we're being reminded here is, instead of acting as if you were the master of your fate and captain of your soul, by engaging in prideful planning, James is going to encourage us next to engage rather in providential planning, which all begins with, if the Lord wills, I will live. And then we'll figure out everything else. We'll consider that next week, how every detail of our plans should consciously acknowledge and depend on God's will. In light of James 4:13-14, so we are reminded that prideful and boastful planning exposes a heart that is forgetting who we are and who God is when we speak overly confident about tomorrow as if we already know it and control it. In reality, we are ignorant of the future. We are powerless to determine it. Our lives are like a mist, brief, fragile, and to be lived utterly dependent upon the person and the plans of God. And so as we go to prayer tonight, let's have these truths humble us. Let them strip away our self-sufficiency and lead us into a posture of dependence tonight in prayer, acknowledging that every moment and every plan and every outcome rests solely in the hands of our sovereign God, which means the things that you have been holding on to so tightly about the future need to be released to Him tonight and say, God, I trust you with it. Lead me according to your will. If the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that.